yourself, but you can say, I'm a king's kid, and devil, you know where the door is? Get out. I'm not tolerating this anymore. And you know what? He has to obey you. That's one of the things that when you really mean it and you really know your rights and you really are not swayed by anything he says, and you, well, he's not going to be insulted. He's going to he's going to get out. He don't like the insult you're just giving him. And so he's going to flee. The Bible says resist the devil. Have you been guilty of entertaining the devil? Have you been guilty? I have. And sometimes I'm like, I wouldn't even realize it. I'm entertaining his thoughts. Wait. That's not a God thought. Is that depression? Is that worry? Is that fear? Is that of God? God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So where's all this other crud coming from? The devil. So what do? We say, I don't have to take that. You're not my friend. He's even come to me, tried all these other things, and then he came at me like, I'll be your buddy. That's what he told me. He said, one time he said, I thought we were buds. And then another time, I'm like, well, how mistaken you are. Go paddle your wagon somewhere else, you know. And another time he came and said, I'll be your companion. You know, so, well, yeah, guess what kind of companion he'll be? He'll fill you full of fear, doubt, and hate, and then he'll take you to hell to torment you. Yeah. So what you have to do is wait. The whole world, the Bible says, lieth in deceit. What does that mean? That means the devil has deceived people. So what you do, what do you know the truth? You get a hold of the word of God. You pray, you get a hold, you fight your way through, and then you find out, greater is he that's in me. It's not me. I'm just the kid, but I am the king's kid. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. And I love to remember the goodness of God that's just happened to me, that nobody knows these things that I've been through but me. But I'm like, I got to get them out. I got to tell them. I got to tell these people. I'm 76. I don't know how long I'll live. I may not live to get to preach to the millions of people and tell them all this stuff, you know. But as an opportunity arises, then we put this, and that little girl on the phone said, will you tell me about Thelbert's life? And I said, yeah. And I started telling her what God has done. And she started crying. She said, oh, I needed to hear that today. Oh, I needed to hear that day. So let's live it. Let's believe it. Let's tell it. And let's remember the goodness of God.
Amen.
Now we need to pray.
Amen. So I did forget one thing as we were coming on this morning. Today is Thursday.
The book.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you remembered to put that there, sister, because I surely forgot to mention it. Today is Thursday. Pastor Dwight Shepherd is not in the building. However, we do have a message from Pastor Dwight through the Truth Broadcast this morning. Following this, we will end the iPad, reset it up, and then come back with a word from Pastor Dwight. And today it will be, the title for today is Forgiven. And so make sure you come back after this is over. I do have one. Liz asked for prayers for her daughter who is in recovery now from surgery this morning. She had to have her gallbladder taken out this morning, and she's in recovery. So if we can pray for her, that would be wonderful. Yes, ma'am. Do you want them all at once, or do you want one at a time?
Yeah, I'd rather have all of
them. My husband Keith is finishing his CDL classes today and taking his test tomorrow. So I want to pray that he remembers all his stuff. And my friend Nikki's mom, Patty, is having radiation today on a spot that they had found on her back, and she has restarted her chemo as well.
Okay. Praise God. Well, these people who've given these requests believe in the power of prayer, or they wouldn't be given the requests. So with that faith, with our faith put together, we're going to go before the Lord. And remember Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. There's another scripture that says, come boldly before my throne of grace that you may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And there's another scripture, Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be open to you. For everybody that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it shall be open. So, Father, we come to you today, not in our own merit, but in the merit of the cross and the privilege that we have because of what you did. Lord, because you suffered, because you bled on that cross and died and spilled your blood as a sacrifice for our sins, Lord. You took those stripes on your back for the healing of the nations. And Lord, we bring our requests to you before your throne because you invited us to. And Father, you said that we could ask you anything. And according to your will, you hear us. And your will is healing, or you wouldn't have provided it. You wouldn't have made a way, Lord, if it wasn't your will. And so, Lord, we pray in your will as we pray for these people, Lord. We pray for Liz's daughter, who's recovering this morning from surgery, that she will heal well, that there'll be no complications or infections, and that, Lord, the pain will be minimal, and you'll help her to raise up and just be what she should be for you, that you'll guide her, that you'll help her to commit herself to you and serve you and know you and be a witness for you. Father, we pray for Keith and finishing his CDL, and we just ask, God, that you will help him as he takes the test tomorrow, Lord, that everything will come back to his memory. Everything, Lord, will be clear and crisp, and he will know that you helped him. And if he has to guess on something, help him to guess it right. We just ask, God, that you will help him, God, and be with him in this. I pray for Nikki, Nikki's mom, Patty, who's having the radiation today, God, that you will help her, that this radiation will help and not harm, that the chemo will help and not harm, that you will help it to go right to the cancer cells and destroy them. And God, that you will raise her up, God, that it will not damage her system, that this chemo will not damage her, nor, Lord, steal from her. But God, I ask that you will raise her up and use her for your glory. And I ask you, God, for Liz's, no, we already prayed for that, who's recovering. Okay, God, we thank you for hearing and answering prayer, and we claim these things in Jesus' name, not because of our goodness, but because your word says it, and we dare to believe it, and we claim it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs on wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located right here in the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road, Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake. Focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere, You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Bardice and Ford Elk City, only at bardiceandford.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Sister Judy Gifford. Her title for this morning is Remembering the Goodness of God. Yes. Back to you, Sister Judy. Yes.
Well, in my preachings and in my teachings and learning and all of that, I have come across some really good pieces that other people have read. And one of them is called My King. And this was done by a great black pastor. But he, this says, My King. The Bible says My King is a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's a radical king. He's the king of Israel. He's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven, and he's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords, and that's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? David said, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is the sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder him with pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of the world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's a centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest ideal in literature. And he is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in higher criticism. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the ages, and he's the yes, he is. He is the superlative of everything good that you can call him. He is the only one qualified to be the sufficient savior. I wonder, do you know him today? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves, and he strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know him? Well, my king, he is the king. He is the king. He is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. And he's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. This blesses my heart. He reigns in righteousness. His reign is righteous, and his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. Yes, he is. He is God. He is incomprehensible. He is invincible. He is irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind, and you can't get him off your hands, and you can't get him, outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. They found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimony to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah, that's my king. That's my king. Yes, and thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forgivers, then amen. Good God Almighty. Amen and amen. I can hear him say it, and I've heard him say it. But I say, praise the Lord and amen. God is good. And we keep working, and we keep praying, and we keep striving. One day we're going to hear that trumpet sound. And when we hear it sound, we're going to rise like a magnet to meet Jesus in the air. And we're going to go, my goodness, look at all this, and look at my Savior. And we'll stand before him and hear him say these precious words. I long for these words. I've waited for these words. I preached a first assembly and stood behind that pulpit and told people, I want this. This is what I'm living for. This is what I'm working for. Hear these words. Well done. From my Savior. Well done. Good and faithful servant. I don't know how good I am, but I have the choice to be faithful. And if I will be faithful, I will receive the crown of life. And that's what I look for. That's what I long for each one of us to do. Tell the devil he's a liar. Kick him in the teeth. Turn around. Ignore him. That's about the best thing you can do with someone is go, I don't care what you say, and ignore him. Mm-hmm. If a drunk's laying on the street and you walk over him, and you just step over and you ignore him, that's about the worst thing you can do to somebody is to ignore him. It makes them feel horrible. Well, do it to the devil. Make him feel horrible. Make him realize he's a nobody and a loser. He chose his fate. He chose his fate. He rebelled against God. He had it made. He was in the presence of God, the beauty and all the beautiful music that came out of his body and the glory. And he shielded, was some kind of shield, some kind of something in the very presence of God. And pride entered his heart and he rose up against God and he fought against God and he talked other angels into rebelling against God. And guess what they got? They got stuck in hell till the judgment comes. And he's running around all the earth. And the Bible says, where have you been, Satan, when Satan appeared before God? He had to appear before God for some reason. Where have you been? We give an account of yourself, what you've been doing. And he says, oh, I've been running to and fro across the earth. He didn't actually go and say trying to cause hell havoc and kill, steal, and destroy. Well, he didn't say that, but that's not exactly what he'd been doing. And, well, God says he wanted to brag on his boy. Have you seen my servant Job? Oh, yeah, I've seen Job. I've watched Job, but you got a hedge about him. Nobody can touch that boy. Pull that hedge down. He'll cuss you to your face. He'll call you names. I can get him to do it. And he says, okay. Don't touch it. Don't touch his body. Don't touch him. You don't touch his life. So the devil goes on and he destroys, he kills all of his kids, steals all of his cattle, steals all of his donkeys. He has nothing. And what God, that devil told him, he will curse you. He will curse you to your face. And so when he had to appear before God again, Job went through all that. But Job never sinned with his mouth. He never accused God. He didn't know why it was happening. And even then his wife said, curse God and die. And the devil spoke through her to get him to do what he was trying to get. So be careful who you listen to. You know what? And then the devil had to come before God again. And he says, what you been doing? Well, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, but you haven't let me touch his body. You let me touch his body, he'll curse you. Every skin for skin. Everybody likes his own skin. So God said, touch his body, but you cannot take his life. So Job broke out in these horrible boils. It must be about the worst pains possible is the boil, since that's what the devil chose to give to Job. And Job's sitting on an ash heap. You know he's lost all this weight. He don't even look like himself. He's emotionally devastated. He cries out to God, where is God? What has happened? I tried to serve God. Why has all this come upon me? I don't know. And his friends say, it's because you sinned. You've done wrong. And he's sitting there. His wife says, curse God and die. And finally, God said, it's enough. Job has passed the test. He raises Job up. He gives Job back everything. He lets Job pray for the friends. And then God restores him and heals him. And you say, how does all things work together to the good? I can't see. That's our faith walk. We don't know. But we take a cake, and in a cake, you eat that wonderful cake. But if you go back when the person's making it, they've put in there. Uh-oh. You want to get in there and stop that noise. It's in the middle, I think, or somewhere. And you push the stop. Anyway, all these ingredients like baking powder, taste that by itself. Mm. Taste the bitter chocolate that goes in there, the powder. Taste The salt may be okay. You can't have too much, but you taste that. Taste a bite of the egg by itself. Taste a bite of the flour by itself. And those are some pretty bitter things that we're not going to eat. But when we mix them all together and then we put it in the oven, out comes out. This, well, the only thing in that I noticed that would taste good to us was the sugar. Mm. And we get some sugar stuff along the way. We do. We get some yeah, man, stuff. But along with all the bitter stuff. But, you know, when it's all mixed together with our life, it's going to come out a beautiful fragrance that others can taste of it. They say, the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And when people rub up against your life and they taste the fragrance of your life through their senses, and they sense that God is in you, and you begin to feed them the bread of life from that bread and all those things. You sometimes we go, well, why did this have to happen to me? Why'd that have to happen to me? Why'd that happen to me? So wait. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So raise up and serve God, and you're going to hear him say, well done.
Amen. So this morning on the way here, I was spending time with the Lord on my drive. It's my favorite place.
To pray.
Yeah, just to, you know, because I'm alone. I'm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had the cereal bar in my cup holder sitting there for just in case.
Uh-huh.
Just in case, you know? And he said, I want you to take that in this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, Lord. And then he was talking to me about what he wanted. And I'm like, Lord, I don't like that word Lucky Charm. It's a Lucky Charm cereal bar, okay? See? It's a Lucky Charm cereal bar. And I'm like, but Lord, I don't want to, if you want me to use a cereal bar, and I pulled over and I'm like, I'd rather go home and get the Golden Graham ones.
Uh-huh.
And use that rather than the Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
Because you are no Lucky Charm.
No.
You are the head to the body.
Yeah.
You are the brains. You are the mouth. You are the eyes and you are the ears.
Yeah.
And he said, exactly. And he told me, he said, and I'm guilty. And he said, some of my people are treating me and the cross as a Lucky Charm. And I assure you that it is no Lucky Charm. And I challenge you today to open the Word of God. I want to challenge you today to get into the Word of God. And I want you to read it. I challenge you to read it. I challenge you to apply it and put it into practice. I challenge you to taste and see that our God is good. And I challenge you to start tithing. For me personally, when I started tithing, I feel like it untied the Father's hand to completely pour out on me. So I challenge you today, taste and see. And then the Lord told me when I got here, he said, I want you to go out there and I want you to get a stick.
Okay.
So I went out there and got me a little stick. I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody. I was lost in sin. I was beat up so bad by the pride stick. I was beat down so bad by the pride stick. Now I want you to look at this stick. The stick represents pride. And I want you to realize, I want you to look. There's two sides to this pride stick. One side is boastful and proud, kind of like back in the day. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. I'm not even. I made money with my looks, with my body, with my figure. I was very boastful, and I was very proud. I was proud of what my mama gave me. What a twisted lie. My mama didn't give it to me. My God did. My God formed me, and my mama is the tool he used to bring me here.
Yeah, amen.
On the other side of the pride stick, opposite of proud is shyness. Shyness. And that's kind of what I'm, going to God. And then, Sister Judy, the enemy tries to beat me with this stick. I'm over this end. So now we're over here.
Yeah.
You ain't good enough. Uh-huh. Nobody cares about what you got to say. Who do you think you can help?
Right.
He tries to get me in all this to beat you into a circle of self-centeredness.
Right. Amen. Amen.
But God sent his son.
Yeah.
Because he loved us. He went down to the pits of hell. He took back the keys.
Amen.
To hell, death, and to hell. He took it back.
Amen.
And then he says, I'm going to give my kids the keys. My kids have the keys.
Cool.
I want to challenge you today, if you're dealing with one of these things, shyness, if you're dealing with pride, proud, boastful, or shyness, stand up today. Take the stick from the enemy. Tell him no more, no more, no more, no more. I personally had to fight the good fight. I don't know how many sticks I've had to take and break and throw back at him and tell him, you're not getting me back in that circle of self-centeredness.
You got to stand. Amen. Praise God. And you're growing and you're becoming strong. And look how God is using you to help other people. And I wish there was no problem. But the Bible says in the end of it, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And again, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. So there's going to be things that we have to overcome. But praise God, we got the tools. We got to find our tools, the Word of God. One is prayer, even fasting, the Word of God, other being in church, and then sometimes just grabbing the Word of God and standing your ground.
Yep.
Amen.
Stand. I say stand. And when you cannot stand no more, God will give you the strength to stand.
Amen. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Love you so much. Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. From all of us here in the studio, myself, Monica Lovell, the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and our gorgeous sister, Judy Gifford. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.